Welcome to What If, So What, the podcast where we ask what's possible with digital and figure out how to make it real in your business. I'm Jim Hertzfeld.
And I'm Kim Williams-Chopek.
We're part of Perficient's digital strategy team. And today we'll ask, what if, so what, and most importantly, now what?
So the term digital marketing is very broad, and what makes up digital marketing today has evolved and matured rapidly, including a measurable genetic leap since the start of the pandemic. But as digital marketing has matured, so have the various platforms, approaches, channels, and theories how to game the system. If you're not deep into it, it can be a little mysterious, and a lot of businesses have trouble figuring out where to invest their digital marketing budgets for the greatest return. So how should a business think about their digital marketing efforts today? What has changed and what will always remain the same? Today, we're lucky to be joined by Eric Enge, principal in the Perficient Digital Marketing practice and a true pioneer in the digital marketing space, to get answers to these questions, as well as tell us the one thing you can do to improve and demystify your organization's digital marketing practice. Welcome, Eric. How are you doing? Welcome to the podcast.
I'm doing great, Kim. Thanks. And well, thanks for having me.
Oh, we're thrilled to have you. We feel like you're going to unlock a lot of mysteries for us today. To give our listeners some context, just tell us a little bit about how long you've been in the digital marketing game.
Well, I'm going to give you an unusually long answer to that question because I first got involved in digital marketing all the way back in 1990 and 91 when I played a key role in helping with the early distribution and growth of a service called America Online.
Wow.
Which at the time when we got involved was still called Quantum Computing Services. Didn't even have the America Online name yet. And I helped put together deals with companies like Compaq Computer and Packard Bell. These companies are long gone, but it drove a big portion of their early subscriber growth.
Wow, that is truly old school. So I'm sure you've seen a lot change over time. What has fundamentally changed, but what stayed the same?
Well, if we truly look back 30 years, we transitioned from a marketplace that had no idea what the web would become to one that does understand, obviously what it's become. But if we narrow that down to, say, the last 10 years, we've still seen massive change. Businesses have learned to collect and leverage data and use that data to make effective decisions on how better to optimize their digital marketing campaigns. And I'd say that's probably the biggest and most significant change.
That makes a lot of sense. I just go back to thinking about all the different ad platforms, SEO, SEM, programmatic. There's just all these buzzwords out there. What's the most important aspect of a digital marketing strategy for brands today?
Well, gosh, there's a lot of things to put in that bucket, Kim. And I know you kind of worded it in a way that asked me to give you one.
That's what I want. I want one.
Yeah. Well, I think the most important thing at a very high level is really to understand who your target customer audience is and where and what they're doing online and how to reach them with whatever you're trying to reach them with. I'll just supplement that, though, by saying that there's a few things that you can do to help with that. And one is just leveraging competitive analysis to see what's working from competitors and the like, as well as a variety of market research tools to try to get to the answers of that. And then when you're done, you really do want to set up that right mix of digital marketing programs to best reach them in those places where they can be found.
All right. So it sounds like the one answer is you got to know your customer, and that will help guide you.
That's the one answer. A healthier format.
That's right. So we're all dealing with extraordinary changes right now. How has the pandemic impacted these digital marketing strategies? Are we going back to a normal state post-pandemic when it comes to digital marketing, or will everything have changed?
Well, overall, digital marketing spend was cut back during the early stages of the pandemic. Businesses had to figure out how the market was changing and how it impacted them. But that spend is beginning to come back, and there's evidence that it's going to come back in a big way. The reason really is that the pandemic also drove a significant increase in the importance of websites, because in-store traffic took a big nosedive, and there's certainly some spectacular stories like what happened to Zoom or Instacart or Amazon or, you know, places like that. But for nearly all business websites, the importance of those websites grew quite a bit. As a result of that increased website importance, many companies are currently in the process of really investing in and figuring out how to increase their investment in digital marketing. We actually took a survey of people around the pandemic, 154 senior executives from large enterprises, and we found that 3/4 of all enterprise organizations plan on increasing their investment in their website, but only 7% said they were planning on decreasing it. So that puts a lot of pressure on the rest of us to follow suit. And with the competition heating up that much in digital marketing, it brings strong challenges to us, or significant challenges, to figure out how, as we're increasing our spend, we're still going to see a really solid ROI. And that means your campaigns are going to require a lot more scrutiny than ever before. And the companies, in my opinion, that put in the extra effort into monitoring the results they're getting, continuously optimizing their campaigns, those are the ones that have the best chances of being successful. And, you know, optimizing how well they serve their visitors, personalizing their experiences, that's conversion rate optimization I'm leading into now, also gives you a strategic advantage because you get higher revenue results from the number of visitors you're getting. So that's another area to focus on. But to the other part of your question, I don't think we ever get back to the old normal. We have to get ready for the new normal because some of the changes that we saw in consumer and B2B buying behavior will never change back. The importance of the website might dip back down a little bit, but it ain't, excuse my bad English there, going back to where it was. And, you know, there's just going to be a really significant permanent change that's happened to our environment.
Yeah, right. The adage, new technology drives new behavior. Let's just say new pandemics will drive new behavior. We're going to have to constantly adjust for that. So you talked about conversion rate optimization. I want to go back to kind of some demystification. Other people might know conversion rate optimization as CRO, but we've also heard a lot of different buzzwords and acronyms in the digital marketing space: SEO, SEM, CRO, marketing automation, ROI, ROAS, CLTV. These are all important. And I think, you know, you have specializations who can focus on each of these areas, but for the casual listener or the folks who just want to learn a little bit more about the space right now, can you help us demystify all these acronyms and understand how they work together?
Sure. Now, happy to do that. So first of all, search engine optimization, it's really the practice of getting more traffic from what we can call the unpaid portion of the search engines or the organic search results and other search engines. It could be Google, Bing, either one. Search engine marketing or SEM or PPC, those are all or roughly to the same thing, is the practice of getting more traffic from the paid portion of Google and other search engines. And actually, I want to just say briefly before I move on that I think of SEO as the best way or the highest ROI way to acquire new customers. Whereas for paid search or search engine marketing, I think of it as the fastest way to get new customers. Marketing automation, you know, that's really the practice of automating repetitive marketing tasks with, you know, the goal of making them more impactful. The classic example is email marketing, where you can create campaigns, we sometimes refer to them as drip campaigns, where the messages evolve through the customer journey. So as people begin to respond to certain emails or do certain things on your site, the kinds of emails you send them change. And really effective automation can be the fastest way to drive incremental revenue, because selling more to existing customers is often quite effective. Conversion rate optimization, or CRO, is the practice of just really working on improving your conversion rates on existing pages. That's like tuning maybe the call to action messages. Sometimes it can just be the color schemes. What's cool about CRO is it really acts kind of like an ROI multiplier for everything that happens on your site. So your SEO, SEM, and automation efforts can all have their ROI increased by effective CRO. And funnily now, because of the order you listed them, I'm following the order and I see I'm now defining the term that I've used many times already, return on investment or ROI. But that refers actually to how much you make back on an investment. It actually gets calculated two different ways. It's fairly important to understand which way somebody's calculating it when you look at it. One way is you just divide the return you got on a campaign by the investment you made in it. The slightly more complex way is to subtract your investment from the return and then divide that by the investment. So that number is inherently a little bit smaller, but regardless of the method you're using, you know, larger numbers are better, right? And then in terms of return on ad spend, it's like ROI in a sense, but it's specific to ad spend. So it's calculated using the same approach as a simple ROI that I defined above, just your return on an ad campaign divided by your ad spend. So like ROI, higher ROAS or return on ad spend is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like, you tell me if I'm wrong, that foundationally, SEO and SEM are sort of core components of a digital marketing program. And then maybe depending on goals and objectives, you're layering on some level of automation, CRO. You certainly want to measure return specific to the investment. Does that sound right?
Yeah, those are all really significant pieces of a digital marketing campaign. There's other things that you can get to when you're more sophisticated, which is how do you collect data basically on everything that's going on? Do you have a data warehouse of some sort where you're keeping all that information, and how are you using that data to drive leverage for optimizing all of your campaigns? So that's another area to think about, but that's for the more advanced course, if you will, when you get to that point. And then analytics, ultimately, which is just the fundamental basic way that you start collecting data, is another piece that I might add into the mix.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And can you talk a little bit, I mentioned this earlier, but I've seen this pop up in the news more and more recently, this notion of programmatic, good, bad, does it depend?
Yeah, I think it's a matter of how well it fits the customer set that you're dealing with and how you can set up campaigns so that you are getting really good leverage from a programmatic effort. You know, for some people, it might not be worth that level of investment, but for others, I think it can work really well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I know I asked you before, and maybe this is the same answer, but a big idea for brands today who just don't know what to do with their digital marketing dollars. Is there one thing you would recommend they either launch or evaluate or experiment with, or is it deeper than that?
I'm going to start with an answer that's going to maybe not be as direct as you're hoping it would be. So you have to come up with a strategy. This isn't just a go start doing stuff. So I really think the investment in the digital marketing strategy is the paramount place to start. You have to understand your customer audience that I spoke about. Understand what your competition is doing. You have to see what your current strengths and weaknesses are from a digital marketing perspective and map that against the strengths and weaknesses of the competition and figure out where, if you put some dollars in and some effort in, you have a chance of stealing some share from the competitors and growing your position in the market. So to me, it's tempting, and you know, I have this flaw. Sometimes I just want to jump in and start doing stuff, right? But you got to have the discipline to invest in the overall strategy and make sure you've got your focus on areas where, well, you're going to win.
And you know, we've talked about this before. I think it's an interesting idea. A lot of digital marketing programs are focused on return on investment or, you know, measuring customer lifetime value. But you talk about overall market share a lot. Can you talk a little bit more about why you focus on that?
Well, I mean, usually markets are somewhat finite. Obviously, that's different in areas that are expanding. So growth is going to be achieved at somebody else's expense. That's sort of inherently the case. Again, unless you happen to be one of those rare situations where it's basically a runaway market, which does happen. But for most of us, we don't have that luxury. And since you mentioned it, and I forgot to answer this before, another parameter you should really think about is this customer lifetime value or CLTV. This can have a big impact on your campaigns because it isn't just the revenue they generate for you today that you should consider in how much it might be worth spending to get them. So, you know, if you spend $10 today and you only get $10 in revenue, but you're going to get $10 again in 6 months and $10 again at 12 months, and it repeats on average for, say, four of those sorts of transactions, your $10 spend, which in the near term might have only yielded $10 or break even, is actually worth $40 to the business in the long term. And I think it's really important to take that into account when you plan these things out.
Yeah, that's definitely a big nut to crack. I know a lot of brands struggle with, but then there's sort of the flip side of that notion. What are some of the biggest mistakes you see organizations making in their digital marketing strategies today?
I've seen people with a real failure to do a good job of measurement. It actually can be very frustrating in a paid search campaign where you see someone implementing a campaign and they're bidding against you and they're ranking in higher spots than you. And you look at their campaign and it's pretty clear that there's almost no way they're making money, right? And forget that it's not the customer lifetime value thing, unless they have this miraculous ability to attach to the person's credit card and never let go. So they're getting some extraordinary lifetime value. You see these things, unfortunately, too often, and you've got to have the discipline to stick to your business goals and metrics, make sure you're managing the campaigns to those goals, and being very strict about it. And you may have situations where you get priced out of pursuing something just because somebody else is overspending, and you kind of have to let them take the hit on it. The other thing, which is a second answer to this, is just not really figuring out that right mix. And that's the reason why I like to think about, and I mentioned it before, you know, SEO is that highest ROI way of doing things, new customers. Paid search is the fastest way to get new customers. You know, automation, the fastest way to get additional revenue, assuming that you've built up an audience to approach your, with the messages from your automation. And then, you know, CRO, that ROI multiplier. What's that right mix for you? Are you playing a long game or a short game or some balanced mix of the two? You got to have the discipline to work those things out and then execute to it.
Eric, thanks so much for the time today. I've definitely learned a lot more than I knew before about digital marketing, and I feel a little bit like I could put together a solid digital marketing strategy here.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to seeing it.
I will send it to you.
And thanks so much for having me.
I really enjoyed that talk with Eric. He's been in the digital marketing space from the beginning, literally. And with hindsight 2020, he has great insight into the future of what digital marketing can be and what organizations should consider to have a great digital marketing program. Now it's time for our namesake segment, What If, So What, and most importantly, Now What? Jim, Eric had so much to say. I felt like a lot of it came down to getting the basics of digital marketing strategy right before diving into, you know, optimizations, which I agree, but a lot of companies don't do that. What did you think?
It's always great to hear from Eric, you know, so I'm so glad we had him on this episode. Yeah. And you know, you're right, he literally has years of experience and knowledge, and he's kind of seen all of this evolve. So
he's like OG digital marketing.
Yeah, he's yeah. There were a lot of TLAs in that interview, by the way, three-letter acronyms. But that's why I'm glad you guys did that and sort of take some of the mystery out. One of the reasons I think that deserves a level set every now and then is just because it has become so complex. It just encompasses so many things. You know, we talk with clients about some, you'll see it, the Lumascape, or one of my favorite terms, Markitecture. You know, they're just thousands and thousands of products and technologies and tricks, and they're all important. But I think what he said that really resonated with me, and I think why that's so complex, is, and he's seen it, you know, it's the last 10 years, and something we've talked about in other episodes, just the sheer amount of data, just the volume and the data, and I have to do something with this. More connections, more data, more connections, more opportunities to use these tools wisely and use them well. And I think, you know, the other thing that, and Eric and I have talked about this before around, is you know, knowing your customer and having empathy for your customer. And I'll get to this in a little bit, and I don't want to steal my own so what, but you know, I think those are kind of collide here, you know. And then you take in, you know, we mentioned that some of these COVID-oriented or influenced changes, they're going to be permanent. I think that has to kind of color everything we do. But, you know, I think you guys really did a kind of great job of kind of setting up like why this is relevant with regard to the type of digital topics we're talking about, right? Because it's obviously digital, but why is this in particularly always relevant?
Right. Yeah.
So what did you, what was your takeaway, Kim? What do you think?
You know, I just keep coming back to, and maybe it's because I, I don't want to steal my own now what, but it's the same mistakes I see it being made over and over, and Eric hit on them, you know, square on. The fundamentals haven't changed. SEO, SEM are foundational, but you have to have that strategy in place first. You have to know what you're going after. How you're going to measure things. I remember you and I talking at this point probably 2 years ago, and I made the comment about companies don't understand the data they have, and the data that they do have, they don't know what to do with. They just don't action on it. And I just felt like that came across with what Eric was talking about in terms of like the true opportunities here. And the other thing that struck me, you know, talking about these three-letter acronyms, there are so many more tools and techniques at your disposal to accelerate growth in the digital marketing space, you know, automation across the board. He talked about CRO and programmatic being great opportunities depending on your goals and objectives. We didn't talk a lot about email marketing, but that's another area I thought there's so much opportunity there to have that be a key component of your digital marketing strategy and kind of drive that personalization or, you know, that recognition of empathy that you're talking about for even greater return on the investment. So there was so much information there, but my biggest takeaway was, you know, you still have to get the fundamentals right. So talking about that, what if you got those fundamentals right? If you had the right digital marketing strategy and the right mix of channel investment, you know, I sat there thinking, is there any limit to growth? You know, I think the big what if here is that with the right digital marketing strategy, you actually have the flexibility to leverage the right channels at the right time to meet your business objectives and truly gain market share. So I love that that's sort of the North Star that Eric talked about. It's all about gaining market share. But what do you think, Jim? What do you want to do with that?
You really triggered a couple things for me again, which is really about why strategy is important. So strategy is, yeah, it's kind of like, okay, let's have a plan. Let's have a North Star. Let's go forward. But I think another part of strategy when it's done well is, you know, what we call disambiguation and just figuring out. We go back to that data example. I remember that conversation you and I had about data. And it was, well, what can I do with the data that I have right now? And I think a lot of strategy deserves a little bit of a reframing, which is about what do I do right now? Yeah, and what's important and where do I prioritize? I know we're talking, Eric and I are actually talking with a client now about their word is monetize. They want to monetize this platform. And what they really mean is, I think, is how do I just get my money back for this investment?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so that is, again, that's where, look, there's just a modest amount of strategy that says, well, let's focus in on, you know, where you need it and what it can do. So I think a lot of strategy approaches and thinking really just need to be about just making a good decision right now. not just predicting the whole future. We could probably go on and on about that. But I think the so what here for me was, I'm starting to think of digital marketing as a business capability that is just a permanent fixture. It's not a special department. It's not like a subdivision of marketing or sales, or it's kind of up there with HR and accounting to me. You know, it's just something you kind of have to have. And I think I go back to some statistics we know about. I go back and refresh these every once in a while. And it's just not an option, because shoppers, and not just B2C, not just consumers, but B2B shoppers, their first stop is a search engine. I think it's almost 48, almost 50%. And to Eric's point, you know, if you want the best return, you know, it's focusing on a search engine. That's where people are going to start. They're not going to ask their friends or go down to the shopping mall. You know, that's where they go.
I was just going to say, I spoke at shop.org probably 10 years ago at this point, and one of these rapid fire panels where you were supposed to say what's the biggest opportunity brands have today. And I talked about SEO then, and Eric's still talking about it today as the biggest opportunity, the biggest area where companies are just continuing to underinvest.
Well, and it's just so easy, right? Because, I mean, Siri or, you know, the Google search app, you know, it's right there on my homepage on my phone. But it's not just shopping. It's just anything that kind of crosses your mind. It's just so easy and such a habit for people. So, you know, it's just about acknowledging what's there right now and the way things work. But I think that, so again, I think the impact of that, so why, again, think of it as a, you know, it's up there with HR and accounting. This is just a permanent fixture. It's the way business has to be run today, regardless of your category or your business. The other thing, years that we've been talking about this, you've been talking about SEO. It was featured in conferences for decades, apparently, right? Is it needs constant nurturing, because the technology is changing all the time, right? We mentioned all the tools and the algorithms changing, but also customers' preferences and circumstances change. You know, so I think the sort of a big why here is, you know, you really want to focus on a couple things, which is what your customers want. Like, I want to be personalized to. I want to know what my options are. I want all the facts. And I want brands and customers to meet me where I am. And I think digital marketers have an opportunity to do that. And then the other thing I hear a lot lately as well is even brands are using it to find the customers that they want. And not just anybody. Right? I don't need just complete mind share, complete market share. I want my high ROI customers. I want my high CLTV customers. So these are all tricks and tools, you know, to give you hyper segmentation from a B2B perspective, or again, the inverse of personalization, you know, which then trickles down to everything else, right? I'm not wasting my time on low margin categories or products or services, you know, all the fulfillment and support and overhead that goes along with keeping these sort of low value customers or low value products. And that's just really smart business.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So when I think about that, and I agree with everything that you're saying, that sort of like, now what? So, you know, focus on the basics, get your strategy together, but what is something that you can do today as a brand to improve your digital marketing program? I just can't help but keep going back to Eric's comments about the biggest mistakes companies are making with their programs today. I feel like if you can't clearly answer who your target customers are, what your market share is today and where you want it to be, and what channels you plan on using to grow your share, you either need to take a look at your strategy, how you're measuring digital marketing results, or both. Because if you aren't gaining market share and you're losing money on customer acquisition investments, it's got to be time to overhaul your program. You know, that sunk cost fallacy, you need to get over that. Start by answering this question. Do you know your cost of customer acquisition today and how digital marketing dollars contribute to that? If not, that's where you got to start. And I think that will lead you on the road to a whole new digital marketing strategy where you can almost start fresh with answering some of these questions around channels and methods and, like Eric put it, that short game, long game, or both.
That's awesome, Kim.
Thanks, Jim.
Next time.
You've been listening to What If So What with Jim Hertzfeld and Kim Williams-Chopek. Subscribe to the podcast to make sure you don't miss a single episode. You can find this season, along with show notes, at Perficient.com. We're also on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, Google, and other major podcast platforms. Thanks for listening.